Get an in-depth look at sports from our resident Big Poll. The Blitz with Justin Pawlowski. Saturdays at noon on the Sports Animal. 620 WDAE.
And I probably should have done this before, I don't know, hitting record or hitting play. Just organizing my notes here. A lot of notes. See, today you and I are going to travel back in time in our little DeLorean. If we have one, that would be heavy. But we're going to travel back to last weekend. Yeah, not too far. And we're going to take a look at the defensive tackles in this year's draft. Yes, that was the breakdown last week. And I'm trying to figure out how many. I mean, this is unbelievable. You get quite your money's worth, I must say. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 defensive tackles. Broken down like no one else would do, I'm telling you. And to me, heading into the draft, unless the Bucs are eyeing one of the top three quarterbacks, other than that, I don't think they should draft a quarterback. I wouldn't draft a Bomar or a Nate Davis later on. Unless you're going to go after one of the top three, this will be the most important position I think the Bucs need to focus on heading into the draft. Whether you get a guy in the first round or in the third round or fourth round, I don't know if you just need one. You might need two. But the defensive tackle position, I'm sorry, it was embarrassing watching those guys the last four games of the regular season. I mean, embarrassing. No wonder the Bucs let Jovan Hay walk. I understand the guy was injured, but... And they're moving to a bigger... Yeah. We're going to get bigger and stronger inside. Still waiting. Still waiting. Colin Cole was the one guy they brought in. He signed with Seattle. He was 330 pounds. Yeah, it didn't work out. That sure is unfortunate. So we look to the draft. Now, if, and I keep saying this and I'll keep harping on it, but if the Bucs are moving to a bigger, stronger, two-gap type of defensive tackle and away from this one-gap, undersized defensive tackle, can we go ahead and eliminate some of these defensive tackles from even consideration? I'm going ahead, and I'm eliminating Mitch King, Iowa defensive tackle, 6'1", 280 pounds, gone. Not even considering him. Pare Jerry? Everyone seems to really love Pare Jerry out of Ole Miss. The guy's 6'2", 299 pounds. Considered to be a one-gap type of defensive tackle. Sorry. I don't know if that's going to cut it. If the Bucs are doing what they say they're going to do, I don't know if he is an ideal fit for that. He's got injury problems. You know, B.J. Raji's your top defensive tackle in this year's draft. You know, you can see the breakdown. You see the positives. You see the negatives. He's going to me, I think he should be a top five pick. At very least, he'll be a top 10 pick. There's enough teams in the top 10 that need a defensive tackle like Raji that they will take. So he will go in the top 10. So now you start to look at some of the other defensive tackles. Now you look at my last mock draft as well. And in my last mock draft, I have the Bucs taking Ron Brace. I'll tell you, some people got pissed at me for doing that. first saying, how could you go away from your initial pick? Listen, I'm not going to give the Bucks the same player. Any mock draft you go to, if you go to a mock draft and they keep the same player with the same team, mock draft after mock draft after mock draft, there's a 99.9% chance they're going to be wrong. Now, I know I have some players the same in this mock draft as I did in my last mock draft. That's just how it played out. In the long run, more than likely, I'm going to switch all these players around because that's what happens in the draft. That's what happens leading up to the draft. Players' stocks rise and players' stocks fall. That's what people have to understand. What people also have to understand is one change at the top of the draft will set off a chain reaction of different picks going to different teams, different players going to different teams. If Seattle somehow takes a quarterback, Detroit passes on a quarterback, the Raiders take Jeremy Maclin, as I predicted, instead of Michael Crabtree, and he drops, then does Jacksonville take a quarterback, or do they take Michael Crabtree? How far does Crabtree fall? Does he fall to the Niners? Then the Niners take a wide receiver instead of an outside linebacker or an offensive tackle. Drops those players. You know, one player being that surprise early, kind of like a Gazdar Sherlis was last year to Detroit with their first-round pick there. One pick like that changes things because it drops a player you thought should have gone higher. And sitting at 19, the Bucks are in a position where if any of these top players fall, the Bucks will be one of the first teams to nab them. So you don't have a high first-round pick, but you don't have a low first-round pick. You're right there in the middle. Anyone that falls into your lap. So the point I'm trying to make, BJ Raji, he goes top 10. So now I'm looking at three defensive tackles I see going in the first round. Talked about Pere Jerry, Ron Brace. Now the difference between Jerry and Brace, real quick. Jerry, one gap, undersized defensive tackle, does get excellent penetration and is a hell of a football player. But if he doesn't fit your type of defense, I don't understand why you would draft him. Sure, he gets good penetration, but if you need a defensive tackle that's going to take on multiple blockers, that's going to be in charge of multiple gaps, Pere Jerry is not your guy. Ron Brace is your guy. 6'3", 330 pounds. No, he's not going to bring much to the pass rush. He's not. But he's strong. He's physical. And he won't get moved. He is the immovable object. He's a nose tackle. He's a guy who's going to be a two-gap defensive tackle who will protect his linebackers from getting blocked. Isn't that what the Bucks are going towards? So really, what was am I that far off? I've seen crazier things happen than Ron Brace going at the 19th pick. Hell, some people think he's starting to sneak into the first round anyway. Why wouldn't he sneak all the way to 19 if that's what the Bucks need? Now, the other wild card here is Evander Hood. Because now you look at Evander Hood compared to Jerry, and Hood being 6'3", 300 pounds, but his work ethic is incredible. Now, Jerry has had his injury problems. Hood hasn't. He's durable. He's a hard worker. Hell, he's a workout warrior. I think you could give him that title rather than say, you know, everyone constitutes workout warrior as a bust. This guy is nonstop working to get better. And I think because of that, once he gets to the NFL, you're going to see Evander Hood get bigger. He's got the frame to put on weight and maybe get up to 320 pounds. And if that's the case, he can be a two-gap defensive tackle. He's the one wild card. I think the Bucks may be more likely to draft Evander Hood than Pere Jerry, just because of their types of defensive tackles that they are. Now, let's say the Bucks don't go defensive tackle in round one. You don't have a pick in round two. I think Moala from USC,
I think he's a second round pick. Cedric Marks, I have him rated as a second or third round pick right there on the fringe. I do think he's more than likely going in the second round or the top of the third round. Won't matter. The Bucks have a later third round pick. I've already eliminated Mitch King. Alex McGee coming from Purdue, 298 pounds. He's a hard worker. He's got good measurables. Played defensive end last year. Now moving inside. Had a good Senior Bowl week. I don't know if that's the guy I want. I think the Bucks can get better value in the third round at a different position. I'm breaking down wide receivers and tight ends this week. There are some guys within the wide receiver and tight end range. I know the Bucks don't need a tight end, but I don't know if you can get too picky. I mean, if there's a guy there that's that valuable, you have to take him. I don't know if Alex McGee would be that valuable to the Bucks in the third round. Now we look at the fourth and fifth rounds, some guys that could stand out to the Bucks, and a couple of guys who I could see fitting into what the Bucks are doing. Chris Baker coming from Hampton. He got in some trouble at Penn State, was dismissed from school, went to Hampton, had a good season, has very good measurables, 6'2", 326 pounds. He's a two-gap guy. One of his biggest strengths is his quickness off the snap and penetration into the backfield, disrupting run plays, disrupting pass plays. Like Chris Baker, the question is, will he be able to keep his head on straight? And if he would have, how high would he have gone? Kind of reminds me a little of Marcus Thomas from a couple years ago. Remember Marcus Thomas coming from Florida? He had all those problems at Florida. If he keeps his nose clean and kind of just has good character, he's going in the first round. Does Chris Baker go in the first round if he keeps his nose clean? Well, he didn't. He's falling. He could be there in the fourth round for the Buccaneers, a big two-gap guy, and also another guy who could be on the Bucs radar coming from another small school, Sammy Lee Hill, defensive tackle from Stillman, 6'4", 329 pounds, another mammoth in the middle. That's something that the Bucs are looking to do. They're looking to get bigger and stronger in the middle of their defensive line. Well, Sammy Lee Hill looks like he could be that guy. Coming from a small school now, that's going to force him to drop, and if he's there in the fourth round, if he's there in the fifth round, I'd really recommend the Bucs going after him. If he's there in the fourth round, I really think you have to think long and hard about whether or not you're going to address that defensive tackle position there, because once you wait and you continue to wait, the less talent you're going to get. So hopefully the Buccaneers realize, and I think they do, the need they have at the defensive tackle position, which is going to be a very important position heading into the draft come April 25th. Once again, this weekend, I'm breaking down 10 of the top wide receivers in the country, including two Gators, Percy Harvin and Lewis Murphy. All the top receivers, Brian Rubisky, will break him down. Derek Williams, who, by the way, his stock is really going up after his pro day for performance, and a couple others, and also seven. Jeez, I don't mean to sell myself short. Seven tight ends. So you're getting a total of 17 players broken down just the way all the other breakdowns have gone throughout the past couple of weeks. We're going to break down every position leading right up to the NFL draft. Podcast coming daily. A lot to get to. A lot to for you to have. We're trying to make that $10 you spent worth it. And I think just in the past couple of weeks, I think you've gotten more information by paying the $10 here at JoeBucksFan.com than you would with any of those other crappy publications that you can go and buy at Barnes & Noble's. Forget those. Stick with us. We will give you the latest and greatest because that's what I'm doing. I'm constantly updating you. You can go and buy this paper material. You can get a magazine. That's never going to change. We continue to change because that's what the draft is. The draft is ever-changing all the way up to draft day. As I said, draft stocks rise, draft stocks fall. You can't measure those with a magazine. You can't measure those in paper. The only way you can measure those is right here at JoeBucksFan.com as we continue the rough draft day in and day out. That's what we call this podcast. So thanks again for joining us, joining the nation here at JoeBucksFan.com, becoming a Joe, an average Joe yourself. We'll continue to give you the best Buccaneer draft coverage as we go. I'm Justin Pawlowski, and once again, my show tomorrow on 620 WDA, only an hour, but it'll be a great hour. I'll try and make it as great as I possibly can. Once again, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow during the show live. And then once again, we'll have more podcasts coming out over the weekend and, of course, the breakdown of wide receivers and tight ends. So have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you tomorrow right here at 620 WDA, the Sports Animal, and right here at JoeBucksFan.com.
The Blitz, Saturdays at noon, only on 620 WDAE, the Sports Animal.